to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. And today, once again, I'm glad to be joined by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you're a visitor here today, we hope that you will be with us often. And Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
God, the Spirit, giver of all good gifts, grant us the joy of sharing Christ's love with each other. Let our worship be glad, free, giving, and receiving of that love. In song and prayer, in word and deed, let us overflow with God's Spirit, whose gifts are joy, peace, and love. Amen. Let us pray together, for our God is a listening God. Let us praise together, for our God is a majestic God. Let us give thanks together, for our God is a generous God. Let us rejoice together, for our God is a loving God. He has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is the time that we do make our announcements. I don't really have too many announcements today. This being the first Sunday of the month, I'm sorry we haven't figured out how we can do communion, unfortunately, on the first Sunday of the month, but it would be nice if people did remember our Deacons Fund. If you would send a check along to the church and mark it for Deacons Fund, that is there to try to help people who are in need. And of course, we're pretty well drained right now because there have been many needs, and I know there will be many, many more. Does anyone else have an announcement that you would like to make about the youth or music or whatever, or you tell me?
I think the soup that was Friday night was absolutely delicious.
Yes, it was.
We really enjoyed it.
Good, good. Glad you did. Actually, I should probably announce that there's quite a bit left over, and Kathy is going to try to put that in the containers and freeze it. And if you'd like to buy more, come to the church on Tuesday or Thursday, and we'll see what we can do about that. Okay. Thank you for the reminder, Sandy. Appreciate that. It was good. I had it too. Yeah. Excellent. Any other announcements? All right, then let's listen to Mr. Dave as he introduces his song.
Okay, the hymn we're going to sing this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And Sherilyn just posted the lyrics in the chat section of Zoom. So if you go down and find the chat section, click on that, you'll find the lyrics in there. It's three verses. We did not get an email out this week of the lyrics, but we'll try to straighten that out by next week and get that happening. But if you do go to the chat section, or if you know the lyrics by heart, you'll probably know at least the first verse. But by all means, let's all sing together. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works rejoice around thee, earth and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Portals join the mighty chorus, which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning over us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
And this is the time we celebrate our celebrate what we have to celebrate together. So please join with me in these celebrations. We are so happy with your response to the Supply Sacks mission effort for children in foster care. Martha tells us she delivered several huge trash bags of goods and $350 in cash. So that was very successful, and we really thank you for that. And also, we had a very edifying meeting last Sunday on the lawn with 22 people in attendance and a very good discussion about racial inequality. We hope to meet quarterly and will extend an invitation to anyone who might want to join us at that time. Now, once again, is there a celebration you would like to share? Unmute yourself and call it out.
Hi, I just wanted to share that the CVNA, we put on an annual remembrance service, and I wasn't really sure if it was going to happen due to the red zone situation and everything else, but we will have it today. And I had talked to the parks department, and we will be able to have outside of the Newell shelter, we'll be able to have an overflow area if we distance and have masks and all that. So we got a really good response, and I just think that's a blessing and a good way for people to mourn the loss of those, for several who lost people due to COVID as well. So I think that's going to be a good thing.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad you're able to do that. And I guess Mr. Dave is playing the music for that.
Yep, Mr. Dave. Yep, it's awesome.
What time is that?
It's at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock.
Yep.
And we do not celebrate the fact that our Patriots are not being able to play today, do we?
No.
Oh, I know. Okay, any other celebrations that you would like to, yes, Madison?
I would like to celebrate all my friends that come back in October because they just came back yesterday and they're welcome back to Riverview.
Oh, nice. Good for you. So you're back in school with mm-hmm. them, are you? Oh, good. Good, Madison. We're glad. Anyone else?
Okay. Pastor, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for all the prayers that have been given to for me and Janet. And I've been doing pretty good. I'm kind of lonesome here in the afternoon. So if anybody wants to come and visit, they're more than welcome to. Janet took her first step yesterday. So
hooray.
Hopefully that's a sign that she's going to be walking someday. As soon as she is able to walk, they'll let her come home from life care. So thank you for all your prayers.
Thank you, Ed. Yes, for those of you who don't know, she took a fall last week and ended up back at Sturdy and is now in life care. So I'm glad to hear she's on the road to recovery now. She's a fighter. She'll be back with you soon.
Well, she is.
Yeah. Thank you, Ed. Anyone else? Then let us turn our concern to our concerns as a church family. And we certainly pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Chad and Roberta, for Ken, for Wayne tomorrow facing his surgery. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, Wayne, for the next knee surgery. We pray for Doris and Cher, for Brigida, for Lee, that's Tyson's sister, Edith, that's Erin's grandmother, and Nancy, who is at home following her surgery. We pray for Marie, for Jan, Maya Dirks. Her mother was exposed to COVID virus and is in quarantine, and her best friend Barbara, who is hospitalized. So we pray for Mickey and Barbara. For Raylan, a friend of one of our Sunday school children, a 12-year-old girl who has been diagnosed with cancer. And we do pray for Ed and Janet both. And for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert. We also have been asked for prayers for Kim, for Matt, and of course we pray for the president and all of those who are in Washington, D.C. and the leadership of our nation who are now suffering from COVID. We remember those people in the nursing homes and assisted living, Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and for first responders and everyone who works in the medical profession, all the essential workers. We pray for our nation and the health of our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. Please join with me in this time of prayer and in the time of silence. Please feel free to raise up any other names that you would like to mention in God's presence. Let us pray. Loving God, we have come to worship today because we recognize our need for you. Be with us as we gather now to pray and worship your holy name. You call us to be Christians in community with one another. Hear our prayers supporting those who are ill, those who struggle with situations too numerous to name in your hearing today. We ask simply for your peace and your healing to be upon those whose names we have mentioned and whose names we now lift up in your presence. Help us as we struggle to understand why so many evil and difficult things befall us and our loved ones. Renew us to face the struggles of people who are hungry, who are living in poverty, who cannot afford the medical treatment they need. Those who face discrimination of any kind, remind us of our incredible blessings provided by you and help us to reach out to our neighbors to share in those blessings and your love for them. All of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Bye. every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
And our scripture lesson today comes from the Psalms, Psalm number 119, verses 41 through 50. This is a meditation in the form of a psalm by King David, who fears his people are forgetting the covenant made with Moses on Mount Sinai. He pleads for God to be with him in reminding the people of Israel that they still need to obey those rules we call the Ten Commandments. Please hear these words. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your decrees before kings and shall not be put to shame. I find delight in your commandments because I love them. I revere your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. You may have noticed, or you may have heard, that we are almost exactly 1 month away from a presidential election. I have a feeling most of you know that. I couldn't help but think of that when I read this psalm. This is the longest and the most complex psalm that we have. It was written by King David. We spent the month of September, if you recall, reviewing the events leading to the exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt and the granting of the Ten Commandments as a guide for their future in the Promised Land. 3,000 years later, King David is the leader of that nation that we now call Israel. It's now under his control as a united kingdom of the old kingdom called Israel in the north and the south kingdom called Judah. King David is struggling with the fact that the laws given to Moses at the time of the Exodus have really been almost ignored and even forgotten. And David is asking for God's blessings as he faces his people who are disregarding the obedience to those laws. Why does this remind me of the election? I think because more than any other time in my life, I have seen people truly struggle and be frightened as a nation. With historical perspective, though, I suppose these times are not much different from what went on during before and during World War I and World War II, and even the Cold War. I was raised during the Cold War, and I was raised to believe that a Soviet nuclear missile could reach Boston at any moment. But at least we thought we knew the enemy then. Today, we're not so sure. We are questioning and struggling to find the will of God in a time in our nation when there seems to be alternate realities at work. One quote by an official of the government said to a reporter, "No, facts aren't facts." What in the world does that mean? Does it also mean that truth is not truth? That there's no more right or wrong? There are enemies of reality without and within our nation and our common consciousness. We're in the midst of a war that most of us have never faced before, a pandemic that seems to have the potential to go on and on and on. The economy is faltering. There's unrest in our streets and people are protesting injustices. Unemployment is sky high. As a nation, we are on the brink of losing affordable health care coverage entirely, and that would mean that everyone would lose their coverage for pre-existing conditions. Medication costs are rising. As you know, one of my best friends was a diabetic. And a vial of insulin cost $35 in 2001. Do you know how much it costs now? $300. Medication costs are certainly rising. And when I think of it, most diabetics need 3 vials per month. That's $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, just for one medication. And believe me, most diabetics are taking more than that one medication. Schools are partially open, but parents, teachers, and children are skittish. Businesses are closed and may never reopen, some of the smaller ones. The president and many of the leaders in Washington, D.C. have contracted COVID-19. All around us, there's fear, insecurity, and despair. So like those in King David's day, for whom he writes this psalm, we too are looking for deliverance from so many of our fears and doubts. At this very moment, two men are now courting our votes, and each one believes that he holds the key to that deliverance. The choice, of course, is in the voting, yours and mine. But let us remind ourselves that we are Christians. We love America too, but I hope we understand, as David did, that our deliverance is only from God. Our nation is in the midst of a terrible crisis. Civility has all but disappeared. Our democracy depends on the ability of people to come together believing that every other person has goodwill for the common good. It's the very basis of our congregational church. It's why anything that we do as a church, we all join together and discuss it, and we'd vote on it. And if we do that, have that belief, then we should be able to discuss difficult things, share differing opinions, compromise, and come to consensus for the common good. And it seems like there's not very much of that happening these days. So where does King David turn? Where do we turn? What is the ruler, the measure of our morality, our judgment, reality and unreality, fantasy and fact, right and wrong? The very thing we treasure most in American life is the very thing that gives us the most problems. It's called freedom. We are fortunate to have lived our lives in a country that truly is free. God granted freedom to God's creations, and it's been a problem ever since, because there's always been ways to go against that freedom. We balk at stringent rules that tie us down. Look at the issue of wearing masks during a pandemic. How did that become so political? Yet we want to believe in a complete set of propositions about right and wrong, findable rules that authoritatively and unambiguously direct us on how to live righteously. Yet we also want to be wholly free to decide for ourselves, individually and as a species, what we ought to be. In other words, we want it both ways. We want to have our cake and eat it too. We want an external set of universally valid moral rules, and we want to be free to do whatever our individual consciences dictate. It seems everything, morally speaking, is up for grabs. The covenant shows Israel and us the way to live. We don't have to make up our morality by trial and error. Even so, we break the covenant time and time again because we are mere mortals and we do fail, we do sin. When confronted with the opportunity, we don't have to say, excuse me, let me look that matter up in the law and see if it is permissible for me to steal. We just won't steal as a matter of course, as second nature. We won't be following some external law. The law, the guidance of God, should be so much a part of us that it would be a simple matter of our character and who we are. We need to internalize God's law and not deviate from it. That anger which rises within you when you witness some injustice, that small voice which testifies to you against stealing even when you have the opportunity to do so without getting caught, that strength you feel to remain faithful to your marriage even when everybody else is saying, well, everybody else is doing it. Listen to God's words written on your heart. With God's covenant in our hearts, we don't have to be slavish about how we obey the law, because we should simply recognize right from wrong. So how are we doing as a church? How are we doing as a community? How are we doing as a nation? Story is told of a highway patrolman sitting on the side of the road waiting to catch speeding drivers. And he sees a car come puttering along at 22 miles per hour. And he thinks to himself, "Whoa, this driver is just as dangerous as a speeder." So he turns on his lights and he pulls the driver over. Approaching the car, he notices that there are five older ladies, two in the front seat, three in the back seat, wide-eyed and white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, says to him, "Officer, I don't understand it. Why did you pull me over? And I was doing exactly the speed limit." "Ma'am," the officer replied, "you weren't speeding, but you should know that driving slower than the speed limit can be a danger to other drivers as well." And she said, "Slower than the speed limit? No, sir, I was doing the speed limit exactly. 22 miles an hour," the woman said very proudly. The state police officer, trying to contain a chuckle, pointed at the sign beside her and said, "That 22, ma'am, is the route number, not the speed limit." A bit embarrassed, the woman grinned and thanked the officer for pointing out her error. And he said, "But before I go, could I ask you one little thing?" And sure. He says, "All of you look very pale. Are you all okay? They seem awfully shaken. They haven't muttered a single word in this whole time." And she said, "Oh, they'll all be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off Route 120. Well, at least she was trying to listen to that inner voice and follow what she perceived to be the law. So may we say to God, along with King David, "Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually forever and ever. This is my comfort in my distress, and your promise gives me life. Amen and amen."
Receive the benediction. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This concludes our service, so you're welcome to unmute yourself and join in conversation.